A peacock drags around a tail so absurdly large it can barely fly. Your immune system wages war against invisible enemies that evolve faster than you can blink. And somewhere in your genes, ancient conflicts play out between DNA inherited from your mother and father. What connects these seemingly random facts? Sex. Not the act itself, but the evolutionary engine it powers, a relentless biological arms race where standing still means extinction. This is the Red Queen hypothesis. Like the character in Lewis Carroll's tale who must run constantly just to remain in the same spot, every living thing races against parasites, competitors, and time itself. The question isn't why we run, it's why we chose such an inefficient way to do it. Sexual reproduction defies logic. An asexual female passes 100% of her genes to offspring, a sexual female only 50%. She also wastes energy producing males who can't bear young. This twofold cost of males should have eliminated sex millions of years ago. Early explanations collapsed. Genetic variety sounds reasonable, but evolution doesn't plan ahead. The coelacanth hasn't changed in 300 million years. DNA repair theories don't explain why we mate with strangers over siblings. Parasites solve the puzzle. These microscopic enemies evolve at breakneck speed. The AIDS virus changes as much in 10 years as humans do in 10 million. Sex shuffles our genetic deck each generation, creating unpredictable combinations parasites struggle to exploit. Your immune system is your genes' lottery ticket in an endless evolutionary arms race. The diversity sex creates justifies its cost because genetic predictability equals death. While you read this, a hidden battle rages inside your body. Genes aren't just cooperative builders. They're competitors fighting for reproductive advantage. This civil war explains why we have separate sexes at all. Why aren't we all hermaphrodites? Nuclear genes come from both parents, but mitochondrial genes come exclusively from mothers. When organelles from different parents mix, they wage destructive warfare that damages cells. To prevent this, one parent's organelles had to be eliminated, creating the killer-slash-victim system that defines male and female. This gender system spawned new conflicts. In plants, cytoplasmic genes often sabotage male function. Over 140 species carry male killer genes that stunt anthers to divert resources toward female reproduction. Nuclear genes evolve countermeasures, creating an evolutionary arms race. Some animals sidestep these conflicts through environmental sex determination. Warm turtle eggs produce females, warm alligator eggs produce males. Whichever gender benefits most from larger size develops in warmer conditions. Darwin puzzled over the peacock's absurd tail. Why would females choose males burdened with such handicaps? Ronald Fisher solved it. Once most females prefer long tails, any female choosing a short-tailed male condemns her sons to celibacy. This creates an evolutionary treadmill where bucking the trend means genetic suicide. Females invest more in offspring, carrying, birthing, nursing them, making mate quality crucial. Males invest less, seeking quantity over quality. This asymmetry creates a genetic sieve. Only the best males breed, constantly purging bad genes. Amos Zahavi proposed a counterintuitive twist. Handicaps work precisely because they're costly. A peacock surviving despite his cumbersome tail proves superior quality. His handicap principle was vindicated by mathematical models showing that honest signals prevail because biology constrains deception. Bill Hamilton discovered why genetic variety persists. Parasites evolve constantly, making the most disease-resistant male change each generation. Males aren't passive objects, but active salesmen packaging genetic quality seductively, displaying wit over credentials, while females evolve to detect cheating. Human mating embodies an evolutionary paradox. We're designed for monogamy, yet prone to adultery. Most societies practice pair bonding, but polygamy flourishes when permitted. Throughout history, powerful men maintained multiple mates while ordinary men had one wife. The fundamental asymmetry: men can father another child with each partner, women bear only one man's child at a time. This begins with sperm egg size differences and reaches its zenith in mammals, where females nurture babies internally for months. Agriculture revolutionized mating by enabling wealth accumulation. Unlike hunting success, which required sharing, farming allowed reliable surplus and unprecedented inequality. Wealthy farmers could support multiple wives. By early civilizations, emperors maintained harems of thousands. Violence often served sexual ends. War may be inherited from male apes competing over females. Studies of the Yanomamo revealed that killers had more wives than non-killers, independent of social standing. Yet marriage remains virtually universal. No hunter-gatherer society supports more than occasional polygamy, and the nuclear family forms humanity's kernel. This monogamous tendency sets us apart from most mammals. Only gibbons practice anything like marriage. Women aren't passive, but active strategists. Human females uniquely conceal ovulation, unlike other mammals who advertise fertility. This may keep men invested through regular sex or give women reproductive control, allowing discrete choice of genetic fathers. Hidden ovulation reveals that sexual evolution shaped both sexes into sophisticated strategists playing an intricate game. Evolution shaped distinct male and female minds, with clear evidence for average mental differences despite significant overlap. Girls excel verbally, boys mathematically. Men outperform in mental rotation, women excel at object and location memory skills, benefiting gatherers remembering plant locations. Testosterone masculinizes body and brain during two critical periods, in the womb and at puberty. From birth, boys gravitate toward objects, girls prefer people. Israel's kibbutz experiment attempting to eliminate gender roles failed as people naturally returned to traditional patterns. Is beauty culturally determined or biologically innate? While fashions change, certain standards remain constant. Wrinkled skin and gray hair have never been fashionable. Even Nefertiti's 3,300-year-old sculpture remains beautiful today. Dev Singh discovered that regardless of changing weight preferences, waist-to-hip ratios consistently remained around 0.6 to 0.7, correlating with female fertility. Many female beauty features decay rapidly with age: unblemished skin, full lips, clear eyes, upright breasts, narrow waists. These function as honest handicaps, reliably signaling youth. Facial beauty is characterized by symmetry and averageness. Composite faces, merging multiple individuals, are judged more beautiful than individual faces. While men prioritize physical features, women consistently value personality and status more, with one exception: height. Women universally prefer taller men and seek traits predicting future success: poise, self-assurance, optimism, intelligence, and ambition. Sexual selection creates perpetual dissatisfaction. Beauty cannot exist without ugliness. 3 million years ago, our ancestor Lucy had an ape-sized brain of 400 cubic centimeters. Over the next 3 million years, human brains nearly quadrupled to 1,400 cubic centimeters. Why? The traditional tool-making explanation falters. Chimps also make tools, and stone tools remained unchanged for millions of years. Richard Alexander proposed a radical alternative. Intelligence evolved not to solve environmental challenges, but to compete with other intelligent humans, a Red Queen scenario where everyone must keep getting smarter just to maintain their position. Jeffrey Miller pushed further. The human neocortex evolved primarily as a courtship device. Like the peacock's tail, our intelligence expanded through sexual selection, not for survival, but to attract mates. Surveys consistently rank intelligence, humor, creativity, and interesting personality as top desirable traits. Women needed variety to keep men around for child rearing, while men developed wit to attract women. Our minds may be neurological peacock tails, ornaments for sexual display, whose virtuosity at everything from calculus to sculpture might be side effects of the ability to charm. our capacity for art, music, philosophy, and science may ultimately trace back to one ancient imperative: impress potential mates.